Great fun to watch youngsters and adults do this. Well, the fruits of the Spirit is what they've been talking about. You have them listed in your bulletin. Let me just go through them just briefly, and let's talk about the fruits of the Spirit a little bit. In my family, we have a gardener. It's not me. I have no sense or even a desire to be a gardener. I don't have the ability to make things grow. When I went to Arizona, I noticed they had a lot of rock gardens. That's more my speed. But with the care and a lot of time, Donna's taken our yard and put new dirt in it, and many of you have done the same thing and have just really made things very beautiful. And I married someone who was talented and had a desire in that part of it. We had poor dirt, field dirt around houses, how they do, you have to replace it with some dirt that has some nutrients in it. So she has a very much of a knack for growing things, and now we have a beautiful yard because of it. Now, so it is with our lives, as we live from day to day. We should be able to see the results of God's planting in our lives from day to day as the fruits of the Spirit blossom and magnify in us. Then we see beautiful things happen in our lives. As a youngster, as a teenager, you're growing up. If you manifest the fruits of the Spirit as you grow up, as you listen to your parents talk about the fruits of the Spirit, you will have a life that will be a lot happier and easier to deal with if you can maintain the fruits of the Spirit. We look to the fruits of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. Now, I do not believe that everyone who is a Christian, who is a believer, manifests the fruits of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit, all the time. If you do, I would like to talk to you, all right? But I think as we go through our lives, we can manifest the fruits of the Spirit at different times. And some of you have different gifts for the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you are so self-giving, are joyous, are loving, are kind, and you impart that upon other people. It doesn't make good sense that someone has all the gifts all the time, just as it doesn't make good sense that someone who is not a believer manifests all the bad things that's also listed, and which we will go through in just a minute. So the fruits of the Spirit, of course, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sometimes we don't feel joyful. Sometimes we don't feel loving. But we should earnestly seek these gifts because God has imparted them to us only through His Holy Spirit. That's where we gain these gifts. We can't get these gifts if we're not a believer, if we don't ask the Holy Spirit for His guidance. It's all through the Holy Spirit. Let me read the passage. It's in Galatians, and I'm going to start just before the fruits of the Spirit is talked about that the kids did. I'm going to talk about just before. So it's not too pleasant just before, but we'll see the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 19 through 25. Galatians 5, 19 through 25. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, that's important, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I think it's curious that love is mentioned first. Everything is surrounded by love. I think its place in the whole list is very important. Love is self-sacrificial giving, as Christ gave His life to save us. Christ gave the ultimate love to us as He died on the cross. we can never have the complete love that Christ gave for us, but he's God on earth. And so that is an amazing thing. But we can have a spirit of self-sacrifice because of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. You can probably recall people. Can you recall people growing up that had such a spirit of self-sacrifice? They just gave and they gave. Some of you are like that here in this church. They gave and gave, and they didn't ask for anything in return. Those are wonderful people to be around, and we learn from them. I can recall many people growing up and how we learn from them. Now, just having love without Jesus Christ is fruitless. The world teaches we must have love. Well, they're not talking about the same love that I am talking about here. Just love without Christ is fruitless. It has no end. Loving as Christ loved us is an end in itself. It is the witness that Christ gave us on the cross. Joy. Jesus promises joy to us as believers. It's scriptural. Don't accept anything unless it's in the Bible. Okay? Don't let me tell you a thing. Don't let the pastor or everything tell you anything. Test it in the scripture always. In sermons, when he talks to you, when I talk to you, look at the scripture. John 16:24 says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Joy is promised to those who pray for it. We're guaranteed joy if we pray for it. You have to ask for joy. Now, there is nothing worse than a sour Christian. There is nothing worse than a sour Christian. None of you have met any of those, have you? Oh, yeah, I have too. Are those people a good witness to what Christ has done for us, even though they are Christian? No. No, they are a log standing in the way of your witness to those people. I have people like that I work with. They say they're Christians, and they act just sour, all right? God gives us ability as Christians, as believers. Well, you're required to be joyous. We have a salvation. You'll be living forever with God in paradise. Isn't that something to be happy about? Of course it is. How can we be sour then? How can we put on a face that doesn't show the great salvation that he's provided? But all this is based on what Christ has done on the cross. Sometimes it's not easy to have joy. Some of you have circumstances in your life that are just very difficult. We lose a job. We lose a loved one. We have sick children. All those things tax our joy. But God is good, and God is faithful to restore the joy that you had at your salvation. Don't have a forced joy. Some churches you go to, I look on Christian Broadcasting, and they're trying real hard to be joyful. And it doesn't look like they're joyful, but they're trying real hard. Don't worry about it. Just be yourself. A cold church and an unjoyous church is a drudging existence. A drudging existence. Peace. We hear the word peace all the time. Peace. The bananas talked about peace. Good bananas. Peace. Peace, however, is a quality of relationships with those in our life. A quality of relationship with those other people in our lives. We seek harmony with other people to achieve peace. On a deeper level, we seek in ourselves a state of peace, a peacefulness, a calmness, a quiet life. Maintaining the fruits of the Spirit will give you that peaceful, calm, and quiet life. It's so hard in our day and age. We hear so much about peace. The peace of our world is not peaceful right now, is it? But we can gain great peace within ourselves. This is the kind of peace I'm talking about. Instead of peace with your brethren,
have peace with yourself first, and I think you can have peace with others later. You must be at peace with yourself. There's a verse that gives me great peace, and it's this. It's Romans 8, 38 through 8, 38 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Does that give you peace? Nothing can tear you away from Him. Nothing. That is what we would call the assurance of our salvation. Nothing can take us away from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Look at what the scriptures say about that. It's very clear. Have you known someone with inner peace? You can see it radiating from their lives and their faces. You want to be around them. And conversely, have you met anyone that's never at peace? I don't want to hang around those people. Believer or not, I don't want to hang around. They don't have peace. They don't radiate peace. It's troublesome to be around them. People may run away from you if you don't have the peace in your life. And we are talking about the peace that is gained through knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. It always goes back to there. What Christ did on the cross, we receive great peace because of what He's done for us. Long-suffering is patience. Patience. One of the great attributes of a pastor, and especially our pastor, is that he is long-suffering. He has great patience with his fellowship and with others around him, people he talks to who aren't believers. He has long-suffering. He probably couldn't be a pastor if he wasn't long-suffering, if he wasn't patient. Probably this virtue is not in a huge abundance with me, and maybe you too, but it is a gift and a fruit of the Spirit, and we have to seek patience in our lives. How much patience, hey Beth, how much patience you have when you're driving around the Beltway? You have to have a lot of patience. See, that did her first solo flight around the down through Washington in her car there. You have to have a lot of patience when you're driving. Can you recall not having patience? I think so. We all can. Patience is something important. We have to be long-suffering. Long-suffering is love on trial. Love on trial is long-suffering. It enables you to forbear and forgive each other. You can't produce patience by yourself. It only comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the ability to have patience. Now, you ever had those times when things just are not going your way and you're asked to do one more thing that seems just too much to bear? I can recall a lot of times like that. That is where it is love on trial, to be patient with those around you. Goodness is love in action. It does for others what is needed. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3, 16 through 18 says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our own lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Goodness is love in action. Goodness is holiness put into practice. Holiness put into practice. And it results from knowing God. Goodness is supernaturally produced in us and enables you to do good to those who hate you. If you're not hated for being a Christian, you're probably not living in this world. We are hated. We are hated for being lovers of Jesus Christ and for being Christians. It's just, look, folks, it's just going to get worse. as we approach the end times, it's going to be a lot worse. Persecution will come on his household and upon us. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. That's why we need to be good to people. We are called to be light in a very dark world. And goodness that we can show to other people, the goodness through Christ, will be that light, maybe the only light that they see. Have you ever talked to a non-believer, trying to witness to them, and they point out, say, well, how about old Joe over there? He says he's a Christian, but he's not good. He's rude. He's arrogant. It's very embarrassing for a believer to have to deal with the witness of a poor believer, or the poor witness of a believer, I should say. It's very embarrassing. I've had that problem. And what do? You make excuses for them? Says, well, they have some issues. They have some problems. Being good. Goodness is love in action. It may not have anything different to do with those type of people. Love others as you would love yourself. Simplify. What does that mean? Simplify. Always fail. Who says that? The Marines. I'm married to one. Hoorah. We say hua in the Army. Simplify is always faithful. Faithfulness is a quality which means people can trust our words. To me, having trust and being faithful is one of the most important facets of our lives. If someone can't trust you, or if you can't trust another person, it's not good. Their ability to have an effect on their life or your life goes down immensely. The reason is God is a trustworthy God. Jesus Christ was trustworthy in his dealings with us. And so it's very important for us to be trustworthy ourselves. God has called you into fellowship. This is 1 Corinthians 1:9. God has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God is faithful. He told the truth every single day of his life, Jesus Christ. Remember the parable of the servants, of the good and faithful servants? Faith and faithfulness was an important part in this parable. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now think of what the early church would be like if people wouldn't have been faithful. Think what this church would be like if people weren't faithful. The church would not have prospered nearly as much. 1 Corinthians 4:17, "For this reason I am sending you Timothy, my son, who I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church." Gentleness. Gentleness, by the way, does not equal spinelessness. There's nothing worse than a spineless Christian. A gentleness is a trait or a sign of a great person. Great people can be gentle and are gentle. 2 Samuel 22:36 says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." James 3:17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Some of the greatest people I have known, and maybe that you have known in your life, have been gentle people. They did not trumpet themselves so all could see. They did not care about being first in everything they did. They had a spirit of gentleness and of giving, despite the fact they were much looked up to. Gentleness is described in Erdman's dictionary as that courtesy and graciousness which should characterize a Christian gentleman or gentlewoman. It indicates the power of yielding to the wishes of others that enables one to sacrifice his own rights, not by necessity, but out of generosity and sympathy. And it was embodied in Jesus Christ. He is the one we point to for all things. Gentleness is the opposite of contention. Now, when I was in college at Indiana University, we had a basketball coach there who was just the opposite of gentle. His name was Bobby Knight. You ever heard of Bobby Knight? Yeah. He was not a nice man. He was one of the most ungentle people I've seen. When he had a press conference, the press cowered in fear of him because they were afraid to ask him questions because he made them feel very stupid and very small. Now, it's possible they were stupid and small, needless to say. He probably shouldn't have pointed it out to them. Self-control. If I'm not wrong, I don't think I'm wrong in this, but this is one of the most difficult things for believers. Self-control. We heard the kids talk about it. On a small frame, it may be refusing that extra piece of cake, all right? Or looking at that cream-filled donut. Those aren't sins, but just part of self-control because our body's a temple and we have to treat it that way. Learn to say no to your feelings. Occasionally deny those things just for the purpose of mastering it. Self-control manifests itself in many aspects of our life and the world, or rather the lack of self-control. Early Christians were not perfect. They lacked self-control just as much as we do. But the word, the kids said this morning, the word that really comes into play is discipline. Discipline. Having discipline as a believer, reading the scripture regularly, takes discipline as related to self-control. Let me rephrase the word self-control for you. Let's call it God-controlled instead of self-control. That almost has a feeling of let's do it ourselves, let's look at the psychological aspects. It's having a God-controlled life will help us be self-controlled. We must have a better understanding of who is control. God wants to be in control of our lives, so let him. The verse says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Without self-control, you'll allow Satan to get his foot in the door. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. We all know that self-control is a thing that ruins our witness as Christians. It ruins our witness. Lack of self-control can be damaging physically, mentally. It can lead to weight gain, poor health, disease, stress, all those things. So my conclusion is the healthy Christian life is one where the fruits of the Holy Spirit, not the fruits of just the Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are seen. We ask the Holy Spirit to come in our lives and give us an abundance of the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is not child's play. Rather, it is an abundant Christian life. It is the manifestation of all that we are in Christ. It is a recipe for abundant, successful, and victorious living. There is no substitute for the fruits of the Spirit. There is only the opposite, which we find in those previous verses, which is not very nice, is it? Brothers and sisters, if you call Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you must live by the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask you to bless us as we attempt to gain the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. We ask you, through the Holy Spirit, to come into our lives, into our families, and help us manifest the fruits of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.